This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Still perfect, Mike. No losses at all.
No, not perfect. I had 13 of the Sweet 16.
Nice.
But I did not have either Texas. Might have had Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. I might have. I know that I lost BYU last night. I had BYU in the Elite Eight, and that fell through. But I certainly did have Duke and Florida in.
Boy, that was a game with BYU-Alabama. Goodness sakes, a 113-88 NBA style with Alabama hitting 25 threes. And Arizona-Duke lived up to, I think that was a really great high-level game, too. 100-93 Duke. Cooper Flagg with 30, Mike, I think was something to behold, because we've been waiting for that kind of big game from him, and he's been playing very well. Which of those games do you think was the best?
Well, you know, I thought, honestly, that the way Arizona came back on Duke and made it a challenge was really impressive, because Duke is an excellent team, has so much going for it at both ends of the floor. And Arizona, Caleb Love, having just such a tremendous game, always was a big game player. If you look back to 2022, the big game he had against UCLA, the game he had against Duke in the NCAA tournament, got Carolina the championship game. And then last night he was phenomenal, just absolutely outstanding. I had a conversation with my friend Fran Priscilla about Caleb, who Fran does a lot of the Big 12. He's the leading voice of the Big 12 on ESPN. And he was very complimentary of Caleb, a player who has been somewhat controversial through his career, had certainly some chemistry issues with the Carolina players in 2023, and that helped lead him to go to Arizona. But he was phenomenal last night, and that made a big difference in how entertaining that game was, because Duke certainly had the capacity to run Arizona out of that gym if Love and some of his teammates weren't up to the job.
How about tonight? Are these games that you pick? Do you feel good about them? We got 2-1 seeds and 2-2 seeds. Do you think they all get through?
Well, you know, I had Michigan State getting to the Final Four and was really displeased relative to that with their performances in both round one and round two. Even though they eventually won the Bryant game by 20-plus, I did not think they played well at their standard for the first 25 minutes or so of that one. And then you think, okay, well, that was just early tournament nerves, or maybe they didn't think that Bryant would challenge them. And then they're going to come out on the weekend and they're going to be Michigan State again against New Mexico. And they weren't. They were not nearly good enough in the New Mexico game. If Nelly Jr. Joseph doesn't get into foul trouble, I'm not sure we're talking about Michigan State today. So they have to play much better if they're going to win tonight and presumably either most likely beat Auburn on Sunday or have to deal with their rival Michigan again. They're just going to have to be better, and that starts with playing better defensively. But then it really comes down to Jace Richardson getting back to being the player who in February and early March was showing why he is a lottery pick against New Mexico. He had a rough night. Lots of guys have rough nights, but he's got to bounce back from that and be great again.
Does Purdue's tournament experience mean much tonight going against Houston? And can Braden Smith be the type of player that is part of something you don't expect and can help the Boilers upset Houston?
I'll be honest with you, David. I think it doesn't hurt to have that tournament experience. But I think that if you look at it, it's just not seen to be a good matchup for Purdue. If Matt Painter can pull this one off, this will supersede anything else he's done in the tournament, even getting to the championship game, because he had the best player in college basketball in the last 10, 15 right. years or what, probably 10 years. And I'm not saying it wasn't a great job to get to the final with that. It's still hard. But if he's able to take a low post-oriented team with a 6'8", 6'9", low post guy into the heart of the most destructive low post defense that I can remember seeing since I covered Kenyon Martin at Cincinnati and be able to find a way to win this game, I think it'll just be a staggering achievement. And so I would not anticipate Purdue success tonight, but I will never put anything past a coach as crafty and capable as Matt is.
Mike, you know, we obviously have talked about the four conferences represented in the Sweet 16, the idea that there's 35 in college basketball, but only four, and the ACC only has one in Duke, a team that looks like they could win the thing. But at any rate, when you look at the lack of the Cinderella, the lack of the mid-major, you know, someone made an argument that Cal with the 10th seed is a real Cinderella. No, they're not. They bought the coach. They bought the play. I'm just saying, they spent so much money. The mid-majors seem like they're playing in a different level than the super conferences. And I'm just talking about it because those numbers you can't get past. Every other year, there's been at least seven conferences in the Sweet 16 since the Sweet 16 began, and this year there's only four. So I can't help but look at it, and, you know, as you know, I went to Loyola, I follow the Ramblers, and they're in the NIT, and they're doing well in the NIT, but it's not the same. And, you know, there are only a limited number of seats at the table for mid-majors.
Well, that's always been true. I think that one of the things you have to remember is that the expansion of conferences, you look at BYU was not a power conference team until 2 years ago.
Right.
Houston was not a power conference team until 2 years ago. So those teams getting engulfed and devoured by the major conferences has an impact. And look, we've seen the same from Loyola. Was it a smart move to go into a more competitive conference that still will perhaps only have one extra bid in a good year?
Right.
And in a lot of years, just the auto bid. I think if the Atlantic 10, one of the problems I have with the Atlantic 10 and what has been done there is they've continued to expand without a clear, visible plan for how they can get more teams into the tournament. Their plan seems to be, oh, if they expand it, I know they'll give us some. That's just not a plan. They have to do all the high level mid major leagues, West Coast Conference, Atlantic 10, Valley, maybe the American. Those leagues have to be more structured and strategic about how they're going to build resumes that are tournament worthy. One of the things that drives me crazy is how little those leagues and teams intersect with one another. They all just stand around and complain and say, Duke won't play us.
Right.
Well, okay, so you've known that for 30 years, and what have you done about it?
Mm-hmm.
You had the bracket buster when that ESPN was behind a decade ago from about 2005 to 2015, whatever it ran. And when ESPN decided not to do that anymore, what replaced it? Nothing. I'm so frustrated with the mid-majors complaining about their lot instead of doing something about it. One of the things that I admire most about what the SEC is doing this year with its basketball excellence, it was all planned. They didn't just sit there and say, well, you guys should put more of us in the tournament because we're better than you say, which is what the Atlantic Coast Conference has done for the last several years. When the SEC got eight bids, eight at-large bids, 11 total, from 2014 to 2016, they sat down at their meetings, and instead of complaining, they said, how are we going to get better? We're not good enough. Obviously, we're not good enough. Kentucky, you're good enough. Florida, you too, as long as you got Billy Donovan. But the rest of us aren't good enough. How do we get better? And they went about getting better. Scheduling, coaching, the whole deal. And the mid-majors could be taking steps toward getting more of each other into the field by playing one another on a more regular basis. Is it going to damage some of them if they lose those games? Sure, but that's the sport. Everybody gets damaged to some point, and if you lose a game.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Those are great points.
Yeah.
Those are terrific points. Mike, I wanted, before we let you go, get your perspective on what we heard last night from Kevin Willard from Maryland after the loss. We have talked a lot about this tournament, coaches and decorum and professionalism and Will Wade kind of handling things, how he did with McNeese and on his way to North Carolina State. Kevin Willard very honestly saying, I don't know about my future. He invoked the uncertainty about his athletic director, and the chances of him leaving are very good, and reports saying he's going to take the Villanova job. What did you think about the way that he handled that moment?
You mean the entire run or just last night?
Well, last night, and let's say the entire run, because I think at the beginning,
it was
a little bit unsettling the way he began the tournament. So the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's healthy, and I don't understand why players get so much criticism when they are looking for better opportunities for themselves. When you have a coach who has a very significant job in the sport and makes a very good living doing that, look, do you behind the scenes use what your leverage to try to get a better deal or to better your situation, whichever is more important in the moment, whichever needs more addressed more? Absolutely do that. That's what leverage is about. Go ahead and get a raise for your assistants, get improvements to your practice facilities or to your travel or to your name, image, and likeness budget or to your rev share budget now. Whatever it is, do it. But this open negotiation or whatever, I don't think that's healthy for him. I don't think it helps the sport, and I don't think it helps either of the two schools, whether it's the one he might go to or the one where he works now.
Great stuff, Mike. Always a joy to talk to you. You've got great insights on this stuff. It's difficult to understand. You know, you look at a team like Drake, and you see the coach leave, and you see the best player leave. But that's what's going on, and that happened to them the year before. And it's gonna, and then now what's happening to West Virginia, where DeVries went? That's just the way things are.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's not what it was 30 years ago, but it's certainly more fair to everyone involved in a lot of ways than it was 30 years ago.
Enjoy the weekend, Mike.
Great
Thanks
stuff,
for all
Mike.
This stuff.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.